Okay, it is 6 o'clock. I'll call the Board of Trustees meeting of January 16th, 2018 to order. Begin with introductions of new board members and oath of office.
So we have Commissioner Ed Pop from Benton County with us tonight and Zuria Anjum from the Sartell area tonight. I don't know, do we want to go around and just introduce everybody so they have names and faces a little bit? I know there's a lot of faces, so.
I'll start with me, Michael Potter, Wright County Commissioner.
Patty Velasco, Administrative Assistant.
Jane Dietz, Sherburn County Representative.
Ed Pop, Benton County Commissioner.
Lisa Phobie, Sherburn County Commissioner.
Jim Shelvin, Wright County Member, at large.
Zuria Anjum from Stearns County.
Fran Rambler, Stearns County.
Aaron Murphy from Great River County.
Jamie Trenum, Associate Director of Collection Development.
Julie Schmitz with Human Resources.
And Brandy Cantor, Patron Services Supervisor.
I'm Mary Everly, Citizen Rep from Sherburn County.
Dan Bravender, Wright County Citizen.
Randy Wincher, Morrison County Commissioner.
Lee Lansmeyer, Stearns Board.
All right, and I gave a copy of the oath to both of you. Can we read it together and we'll get you signed off and officially instated here?
Okay.
So, maybe hold up your hands. I swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, and I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Trustee of the Great River Region Library System according to the best of my judgment and ability. All right, welcome.
Welcome aboard. And that gentleman there, he's the Hollywood celebrity of the bunch. That's Wayne Barnschmidt. Oh, he is. It's like Hollywood, like a rock star comes in, you know, fashionable. Okay, next item up is the adoption amendment to the agenda. Any amendments to the agenda?
Can we move item 10.1, Partner for Student Success presentation, up after the public open forum, so right after 6? We have some guests here presenting tonight.
Okay. It's 6.1, huh? Open forum. Is anything else? Any other questions, amendments? If not, I'll make entertain a motion to adopt the agenda with that one amendment.
So moved.
Motion by Mary. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Next item, the election of 2018 Great River Regional Library Board Officers.
Dave Kircher isn't with us tonight, and neither is Jeff Bertram. I did speak with them both. Dave can no longer serve as president because per our bylaws, he can only serve for 2 consecutive years as chair. And then Jeff weighed in on which committees he was interested in, so when we get to that item, I'll share that information.
An interesting another footnote is the vice president of this was Spencer Berkeley, and he termed out.
Right, which is why Michael's running the meeting, because he's secretary. So if you get appointed or elected secretary, know that it is possible you could run a meeting at some point.
So I'm kind of the Alexander Haig up here right now. I'm in charge. Okay, starting with this, we'll open the floor for nominations for president.
Mr. Chair, I nominate Randy.
I second it.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for president? Are there any nominations for president? Third and final call. Any other nominations for president? Motions for president are closed.
Good campaign, Randy.
Yeah. Hard fought. Hard fought. Anyway, take that as a motion to appoint Randy as the president. Second, Jim by motion, a second by Bran. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? You get the big seat.
Right. Now everyone's in trouble here, so.
If the meetings run long, it's your own damn fault.
Yeah. thank everyone for putting their confidence in me, and I hope I don't let you down too often here. So, all right, so now we're on 4.2, Vice President. I would like to take a nomination for Vice President.
Can we nominate Jeff Bertrand? And since he's not here, can we still?
I guess we could. You know, I don't know if
well, he's a board member.
If he wanted to accept it or not, I guess that was the only thing I'd have.
I make a motion for Jeff Bertrand.
Okay, we have a nomination for Jeff Bertram. Do I have any other nominations for Vice President?
Yes, Mr. President, I nominate Lisa Phoebe for Vice President.
All right.
I'd second that.
All right, I got a second. And I guess I have to go back. Did we get a second for Vice President for Jeff Bertram? I would need a second for Jeff then.
It failed.
It fails.
Okay, did it?
Yeah.
Okay, so then.
Did you catch anyone, Patty?
I did not, no.
Okay, so there was no second. Okay, so then it is. So now we just have the nomination for Vice President of Lisa. Do we have any other nominations? That's the second time I ask. Third time, any other nominations? The nomination is then closed. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations, Lisa. Now we have a nominations for Secretary, 4.3. Do I have any nominations for Secretary?
Mr. Chair, I nominate Mike Potter.
All right, we have a nomination for Mike Potter.
Potter.
I would attend a second.
Second.
I have a second. Any other nominations? Did you get the second on that one? Yeah. Second time, was there any other nominations? This is the third and final call. Any other nominations for Secretary?
Mr. President, a moment, a point of clarity. Karen, as the acting Secretary right now, there is no term limits on the Secretary?
Correct, it's
okay,
only the so Chair.
Good
just
question.
On President. Okay.
All right, so again, third and final call for a nomination for Secretary. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 4.4, Treasurer. Do we have any nominations for Treasurer?
Mr. President, I nominate Jim Shovelin for Treasurer.
All right, I have a nomination for Jim Shovelin. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right,
then you want to ask all those damn questions on the finance.
You do realize that this is my ninth year, so I don't have to take it next year.
What a quitter.
You'll have to embezzle extra hard.
All right. Okay, we have a nomination for Jim. We got a second. You got the second on that? Okay, second time. Any other nominations? Third time. Any other nominations for Treasurer? At this time, then we'll close the nomination for Treasurer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Appointments of members of 2018 GRL Great River Board of Trustees Standing Committees.
All right. The first one will be the Executive Committee. We do need someone from each county on the committee, so the officers are automatically on the Executive Committee, but at this time we do not have anyone from Todd, so Dave will need to serve that role. Benton, so Ed will need to serve in that role, but we'll also need a Stearns County appointee. Is that correct, Patty?
Well, Dave will be serving as past president.
Right.
Yep.
But Stearns County, how are we sitting with Stearns County?
Stearns, we don't have anyone from Stearns yet.
So then we'll ask for any members that are interested in the Trustee Standing Committee for 2018.
Zura, you want to learn fast?
I think I'll take
you're from
it slow.
Stearns County.
I know, but I want to take it slow.
The Executive Committee didn't meet last year, but it has met in the past. So
Jeff is Stearns County too, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
What are they asking to do, the Standing Committee? What is
the Executive Committee meets in lay of the board in case we need like an emergency meeting. They have the full authority of the board, but except for passing the budget. So it is possible for them to take action in lay of the board if something would come up quickly.
And Karen, how many times did they meet last year?
Zero.
No.
I can do it if it's because I run a business and everything, but if that's what it is,
yeah, let's go with Fran.
Appreciate it, Fran.
Okay.
Thank you.
You are going to let me know, Karen, what's going on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so sure. We have Fran. We go
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So to clarify for the executive, so that would mean Mary is no longer on it because I'm on with Sherburne, or she's still on it?
That would be optional at this point.
Okay. And Lee would be the other one.
Well, we need another one for...
Fran is from Stewart County.
Yes, Fran, we need another one. We need another one from anyone.
What, I'm gone already?
No, you're in.
You're in.
You're in. You're in.
There was a coup.
Gee, that was fast.
I'm gone already.
I understand. So I'm wondering if Mary and Lee...
Mr. Chair?
Mary's got a question.
Mary?
Mr. President, is there one citizen position or two?
For the trustee standing committee?
The executive committee has no limitations on that. It's just each county has to have at least one representative.
So you could be on it if you'd like.
So I'm done?
Well, we have seven.
You're on, I'm gone.
But we could have more than that.
Do you want to be on?
We met zero.
I know it. I'm starting to like you.
It'd be better that we don't.
So it was brought up that we'd have seven members this way. If we'd go with eight, then we could have a chance of a tie. So I personally, my thing is we should just leave it at the seven and go from there. Do we have alternates for this, or don't they have an alternate?
No.
Okay.
So we do have every county.
So now we have everybody represented on the appointments for the trustees committee.
Then we have personnel and finance.
So, Mr. President, that means Ed's going to take for Benton County?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you go to page four, we just did executive committee. Now we need to do personnel.
Congratulations, you're buying the beer.
Do we have to nominate new, or everybody stays the same, or how does this work?
Well, Bernice isn't on it anymore, so...
So we need some, and they can come from any county, correct?
Right, there's no limits on personnel, except for Dave has to be on it as past chair, is that correct?
Current president needs to be on it.
Oh, you have to be on it, right?
Okay, so then I would replace Bernice, maybe? I don't know.
Well, after this, it's completely optional, and we'll retain seven members.
So we're going to retain, if you look on page four in your pamphlet, you have, looks six, because again, Dave will, or Bernice is off, so then I'll have to replace her. Mike is the chair, but again, do we have anybody that wants to...
We could have a new chair, too.
New chair?
We could have a chair, yeah.
The chair is the chosen first personnel committee, so we just need membership tonight.
I think I picked on Lisa enough for one day, but...
We got Eddie sitting over there.
I'm asking, Mr. Chair, I'm asking other Sherburne reps if they have any interest in being on this. I don't think I have to be on it, so...
I'd be fine.
Okay.
So Jane?
Jane?
Okay.
On personnel, and take me off.
And we'll take you off, Lisa?
Sure.
All right, so Jane in her place.
And Jeff did express interest in remaining on both committees.
So we'll leave that one.
There goes your opportunity to be chair of that committee.
I do have a question. Laura has missed the last meeting and this meeting. Do we feel confident she'll be at the meetings? That's, you know, I Stearns County, she has missed the last meeting and this one. She's on the committee now. Would she still want to be on the committee?
She said she was going to be here tonight, so we didn't ask the question.
No, I did not.
Maybe that's something that myself, I can contact her and see what her intentions are.
Is tonight excused or no?
Well, she, again, just like we all respond.
She had indicated she was going to be here.
Yeah, you know, but again, maybe icy roads, who knows what happens. So I think it's best if that we give her the benefit of the doubt and see what her intentions are.
Mr. President, would it be prudent upon us to pencil her in for now, but have a backup in case she says, no, I don't want to serve on that anymore?
Perhaps.
We could appoint at the next full board. We could appoint in March if you want.
Well, that's silly.
We can take that as a suggestion. Would everybody be in favor of that, to just have an alternate in case she decides not to take that position? Looks like we're pretty affirmative on that. So Amy would be interested in an additional personnel committee member if she doesn't decide not to be on it?
We're open to three more, plus...
I'm trying to sneak them in here, so...
Okay.
Because I got Wayne sitting down here in the end here.
Yeah.
And I I'd certainly be willing to do the alternate.
I'm sorry, I did not, Mr. Chair, I did not hear all that conversation.
Mary has a question.
I did not hear that conversation.
He will be the, take the alternate in case Laura decides not to take her position.
Wayne?
Wayne, yep.
But we still need two more.
Yeah, and if she says yes, it's done, but if she says no, I'd rather not, then we have our, so we don't have to come back and revisit this again.
Would you still be on if Laura does say?
Certainly can be.
Okay, so one way or another, Wayne will represent the personnel committee. So we need two more, correct, or three?
So who do we have? So who do we have so far?
So far, we got.
Randy, Jane, Jeff, Laura, and if Wayne chooses to be.
Mr. Chair. We're mixing it up amongst the counties, right? We're not having like a lot of people from one county.
Oh.
This committee does not specify.
Right, it does, Fran, it doesn't specify which counties you're from on the personnel committee. You know, it'd be nice, good point, to have somebody from each county, but it's not necessary that we do that.
Okay, because I'm just going by what is representation. You know, like Stearns, what is our representation or for the library, you know? I'm just going by, we're not picking too many from Sherburne, we're not picking too many from Wright, because we all make the rules and we should have a little bit of a mix-up, so.
So could you just read who's on the committee right now?
Yes.
Randy, Jane, Jeff, Laura, and Wayne.
Representing which counties?
Randy would be Morrison.
Morrison.
Jane, Sherburne, Jeff, Stearns, Laura, Stearns, and Wayne.
Right.
Wright.
Isn't Mike on it still? Mike Powder?
If he wishes to be.
Oh, I just assumed.
He hasn't spoken up yet.
He wishes to be.
Thanks, Dan.
Would you wish me to be? I know gone, but besides that.
So Mike, are you okay with that?
Being the chair?
Being on personnel committee.
If somebody else wants to rotate in, that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Okay, we'll put Mike on.
Okay. And we need one more.
One more.
And then we don't have Mike.
Jim, are you on it?
I'm not sure I'm on it.
See, I'm very confused.
What about Dave and Jim?
Me too.
Am I on it or am I listed or not?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
That's why we're, see, we're, the old list was clean slate, we're starting all over. So Jim, are you interested? Ed, anybody? An alternate even?
I'm the original, so.
Jim, you're more than welcome to keep staying on there.
I'll take it as long. I mean, you look at it this way, you come to one of the meetings, you might as well come for all three of them.
Dave said he was willing to stay on.
Okay, so then we got Dave Kirchner.
Yeah.
But this is the last year you're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then again, could you name off, okay, now basically what we have, can you name the names that we currently have on for 2018?
I have Randy, Jane, Jeff, Laura, Wayne, Michael, and Jim. And you mentioned Dave, I guess he could be the alternate for Laura.
We could add. I don't know if Dave requests he wanted to be on the personnel committee?
He said he's willing to stay on.
Okay, I can contact him on that one. So we can have him as an alternate, or Wayne suggested he has been alternate. By the time we come to.
Between Wayne and Dave.
We'll get a.
One will fill.
One will fill on there.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I'm an alternate or?
Nope, you're on the executive committee.
You're executive committee, you're not on the personnel committee.
Oh, I already missed that.
So you're a big shot, that's what we keep you over there for.
You're an executive.
Makes it rich as a ready.
Okay, so we have that clarified?
Yep.
All right.
So finance committee will be on page five.
Again, now we're going to start with a new clean slate again.
Well, actually, finance committee is kind of automatic.
Well, but Spencer's no longer on it.
But it's commissioners.
Okay.
So all six commissioners are on finance committee by bylaws. And then the treasurer is Jim Shovlin, so he is automatically on since he's a citizen member. So that completes the committee.
So then we'd put Ed in Spencer's place.
Right, yes.
All right, we got that one taken care of.
And then negotiations.
Appointment of union negotiations team, we have Spencer.
Mr. Chair, I do have a clarification point. Karen says I'm on, I'm not on unless I'm appointed as a citizen at large. The treasurer is an ex officio member of the committee?
Only if the president is a citizen member.
Okay.
So, right, you're automatic, because
thanks for clarification.
Trying to weasel out of it in your last year.
Okay, moving forward, negotiation committee member, page 5. We have Spencer, which is no longer on, Michael, and myself.
So, are you guys willing to stay on?
So, again, are you willing to take over Spencer's?
I think you were phased in because Spencer was leaving.
We've been grooming you for that.
Okay, so, okay. Well, we have three, so you need,
typically, we had two.
You and Michael are okay continuing.
We just only use two of that.
And again, I'm okay with it unless someone else would want to take my position as, on the negotiating committee. Any favor, any, okay, nothing out there?
Jump up so fast.
Yeah, how about Mike, are you okay to stay on it?
I'm here, let's keep it going.
All right, okay, we got that taken care of.
Fund development?
Fund development committee.
Who are the members?
There's two.
There, well, there, the negotiating members would be myself and Mike. There's two.
On page 6.
Yeah, page 5.
Just two of us.
So, we're two.
There's two.
Just two.
Because I was kind of like alternate because we knew Spencer was leaving, so then they, I joined the committee at that time. So then I get, I'm replacing Spencer, so.
So he got his feet wet.
Yeah. And did I ever. Okay, appointments of fund development committee, page 6.
We've had three on in the past, but, we'd like to have at least two, so,
Well, Bernice is not on there.
Right, and I know Wayne and I talked and his schedule's pretty full, so.
And Mary?
Mary wanted to.
I would like to stay.
Okay, so we have Wayne, so then we need at least two and Wayne is, would like to have his position taken by someone else. Do I have anyone that's interested in the fund development committee and can, how often do they meet?
We've been meeting monthly.
And it's typically in the middle of the day?
Right.
Like, is on a Monday, Tuesday, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock?
We've been meeting on Wednesday. We could shift the meeting time if we needed to.
What time on Wednesday do you usually go?
We were meeting from 3 to 5.
Okay.
Do I have anybody that's, interested in the fund development committee, excuse me?
And it's begging for money.
Actually, you haven't had to ask anyone for money.
Oh, we did.
You did, yeah, you did, but you didn't have to. We are in the process of hiring a consultant to analyze our fund development processes, so this committee will be really involved with that.
So we need two, we have one, we have Mary. Why don't we raise your hands at once?
Come on, somebody.
I'd be willing to help with that, but that's two from Sherburne, is that okay?
I don't know if that's an issue.
I don't think that'd be an issue.
Jane. Thank you very much. So you got that.
And then, the security committee is.
And Mr. President, for others, there was a paper they handed out on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Pat, put a paper on your paper for the committee, security committee. And again, there's four members currently on that. Jeff, Mary, Dave, and myself.
And Dave and Jeff both expressed interest in staying on the committee.
And again, I'm interested, but again, if somebody would like to, take my position, I'd be happy to do that. It makes no difference to me.
I'll do that.
Okay, Lee?
And I would like to stay.
Okay, so we got.
That's an option.
So we got it covered, so then we put Lee in replacement of me on the security, because he did.
Nobody replaces you.
Well, yeah, okay. You got me there.
All right, thanks, everyone. That took a while, but we get into it next time.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question? Has all the appointments in the finance committee been filled?
The good question, friend, with the finance committee is based on the county commissioners plus the treasurer.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? Otherwise, we'll be moving forward to the approval of minutes, 5.1. The request to action to get that approved. Do I have a motion to approve the, board meeting for, we got a motion by Dan.
Second.
Need a, got a second by Wayne. Any other discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 5.2, the board's special meeting as of, December 19th. I would need a motion to approve that.
So moved.
I have a motion from Lisa and a second from Mike. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 5.3, November 21st, Personnel Committee meeting. I need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I so move approval of the November 21st Personnel Committee meeting.
I got a motion from Jim. I need a second.
Second.
I got a second from Mike. Any other discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now we're going to do the public forum, or we're going to do 10.1?
We'll do public forum, but I don't think anyone signed up.
Blank. Okay, we have nobody on the public forum. And then again, we made a motion, or we corrected on agenda. We're bringing up 10.1, which is the presentation for Partner for Student Success.
We'd like to welcome Pat Welter and Amy Trombley from Partner for Student Success. I asked them to present to us this evening. I've been involved with their steering committee recently, and they are working on some initiatives here in the St. Cloud area I thought would be of interest to the full board, especially since I think some of the things that we learned here in the St. Cloud area are things we could replicate in other communities. So, welcome.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it very much.
Let's see which way.
And
I need my glasses for this.
How's that? Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay? Is that too dark?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, thank you again very much. Kieran invited us to come to talk about a new initiative that we are involved in, but I think before we do that, we want to just review a little bit what we are, Partner for Student Success. History of Partner for Student Success started in, well, it actually started before 2010, but that's when it became evident, when St. Cloud School District was looking at, it was just a committee of the board, looking at the achievement gap. And they'd been looking at many different ways to try to close the achievement gap. And I'm going to tell you a quick little story because I think it's very interesting. A couple of the members of the one of this board committee says, let's stop looking at the gap. Instead, let's look at kids who are disadvantaged but who are being successful. And let's talk to them and their parents and find out what they think are the reasons for their success, which we did. 7 through 12, both sides of town, 28, 30 people. And it wasn't rocket science, but it kind of brought us back to a really good reality, and that was one of the things that made them successful were their parents, of course, their siblings, their friends, people from the Boys and Girls Club, big brothers, big sisters. It was those adults in their lives who cared about them, who held them accountable, who had expectations for them, and who were there to support them. Well, that was a different approach than looking at the gaps, looking at the deficits. And then based on that, we formed a task force of community agencies to say, are we willing as a community to go forward and help all kids be successful? Are the adults in the community and various organizations willing to do this? The answer was yes. And 3 years later, we were able to form a board. We had the other two districts in the area join us, Sartell and Sauk Rapids. We had a number of community agencies. At that point, I think we had 40 or 50 community agencies, nonprofits, business people, government. Dave Kleiss was a member, is a member, and a number of other people in the community who have concerns about helping all kids be successful. So our mission is again, it's self-evident. We want to unite the greater St. Cloud community in the collective pursuit of student success, because it is about us creating the conditions where kids can be successful. Now, what we were focused on this summer, okay, was only a piece of that. The piece that we're going to talk mostly about tonight is using a database decision, and that's such a key piece of what we do, To define success for K-8 students, we are just focused, this new piece on K-8, establish some big priority areas, look at where there might be some gaps, and then look at what needs to happen for the participating organizations to help kids be successful. The strategic roadmap for Partner for Student Success is the big picture, and that's what you have up here right now. It looks at, you've got a copy, I think, in front of you also. It looks at this idea that if we can have prepared learners who, because of the support they've been given along the way, in early childhood, in elementary, middle, high school, and after, post-secondary too, then we will have contributing adults, and as a big area community, we'll have an exceptional community. And that basically is the mission that we have been working on, bringing people together with a collective impact to help kids be successful. The particular process that we used for this K-8, kindergarten through eighth grade, kids being successful, was a multi-level process. So we had a steering committee. Karen was part of the steering committee that did a lot of the high-level work and some of the deep digging in a lot of the information that we were bringing together. But we also had a much broader network, and I'm going to show you some of the people and the sectors that were on that network, who, as we came up with a piece that we were interested in working on, we took it back to that broad network of organizations in the community and said, is this authentic? Is this realistic? Does this make sense? And they would give us feedback, we would take it back, and that process back and forth, along with a lot of great data, led us to some of our final conclusions. So this is the members of the steering committee, and it isn't so important exactly, you know, names, but it kind of gives you an idea. There's school people on there. There are people from St. Cloud State, people from Stearns Benton Employment Center. Obviously, that's important. We have some grassroots folks on that who are involved in some of their own organizations, like Promise Neighborhood, Eagle, which is a Somali after-school tutoring program. Karen, this is where Karen was a piece of this. Boys and Girls Club. So we had a number of different sectors in the community who were part of the steering committee, as well as the staff from Partners, and a couple of facilitators from the Search Institute in Minneapolis. Some of you may know about the Search Institute. It's a three-decade institution that is world-renowned, really, because of the work they've done with building kids' assets. And how do you build those assets, internal assets and external assets, in this country and in other parts of the world? They do a lot of work helping with kids' development, student development. This is the broader network. So as we went, you know, worked on various pieces about what's going to make kids successful in this area, and we took it back to this group that included the steering committee, but many, many more folks, because we wanted it to be authentic. We did not want it to be, you know, a small group of people that go off and do their own thing. And again, I'm not going to go through everything, but you kind of get an idea. Again, we had education, basically pre-K through university. We had a wonderful nonprofit representation. Organizations like the library, Great River Library, Catholic Charities was involved. Some of the organizations like the Reading Corps and the Math Corps, all of those folks were involved, as well as, again, some of the grassroots folks who are working with many of the students that we are concerned about. So after 4 or 5 months, this is the definition that we arrived at, and we're very proud of it because it not only came from our gut, but it also came from a lot of good data and research that we had. And in the nation, what people are indicating Everything that we are able to put together says, yes, kids need to be academically prepared, but what else do they need? They need some strong social and emotional skills, like social competency. They need to have a sense of belonging so they can be free to learn and be free to be excited about what they're doing. And they need to view education and learning as important. Because if they don't, the motivation to improve is not going to happen. So part of our job was then to say, where are kids, based on that definition, in our area? Gather data to decide where are they, and then what do we have to do to help, to enable, to support those kids who need more in order to meet that definition. And basically, that's what Amy's going to tell you about.
That gets all the exciting stuff. I'm going to talk about data, which is really exciting, and the process as we delve down with some numbers that are involved with it. So as we looked at what success was, we knew it not only meant academics, but it also meant social, emotional. So we utilized the MCAs, the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessments, that students take really a third through high school within our state system. And we just took a few pieces of it, because as we knew we were going to delve really deep, we took fifth grade as a midpoint, and then eighth grade as an ending point, with our goal being K-8. We also looked at the Minnesota Student Survey data. That's an optional assessment that all public schools can take part in. About 80% do. All three of our school districts take part in this. It's a statistically appropriate assessment, a self-reported assessment, where students provide information on how they're feeling about school. Are they connected to adults? Are they connected to adults in the community, out of the community? Are they engaging in risky behaviors? How do they feel about being academically prepared? Do they feel ready for the future? Do they feel they have control over their future? So all of those social emotional pieces are really tied into that Minnesota Student Survey on a reported basis. Then we also looked at the community landscape. What types of opportunities are there within the greater St. Cloud area for students to participate in or to help support students in their pursuits to be successful? And as we delved into the data, there weren't, I wouldn't say surprises, but they really rose to the top, and we really can say this is our community when we look at the three school districts. And we found some disconnects as far as looking at an average student, a base level student, and then looking at the data. We found that students who are free and reduced eligible students, which means they're typically students in poverty or identified as being on that poverty barrier, had some significant educational gaps, not only on the academic side, but also on the social-emotional side. Then we found African-American students have a very large gap on both the academic and the social-emotional side. They make up 18% of the St. Cloud Area School District. So here are the numbers for the Sartell, St. Stephen, Sauk Rapids, Rice, and St. Cloud. The numbers were so low in our sample size for African-American students as well as Somali-American students in the other two school districts, because we were only looking at, you know, fifth grade African-American students within the Sartell-St. Stephen School District. The state doesn't report out on such a small number. I think it's 15 or less. So we didn't have that academic data to really delve in to make some good conclusions on. But we can make some assumptions that those carry over. And then Somali-American students make up 14% of the St. Cloud Area School District, and we found there's a very large deficit when it comes to their academic skills. But when it comes to the social-emotional piece for Somali students, they really perform off the charts. They feel like they can be successful. They have optimism. They are committed to learning. So there's some really exciting things in there that we can learn and build on those assets that they have and determine what it is we need to do as we move forward in supporting our students. So we found some themes across what to do. We delved into the data, we looked at that, and then we said, so we see these data gaps, now what? Why do we think those are there? And had some great conversations, looked at some data, looked at our community assets map, and determined to move forward, we need to hear from the voices of the community members themselves. So having some discussions with the African-American community. What are your actual needs? We can all sit around here and think what a different community needs and tell Wisconsin what they need or tell a different county what they need. But really, to get to the root of it, we need to have conversations within those communities. Utilizing the individual student data, so really leveraging and looking down at an individual student and trying to figure out at that next level, how can we share some of that data even inter-organizationally? Coordination of support programming. So you have a lot of different programs. Sometimes you don't know a different program exists, but you're doing similar types of activities or opportunities. Or it's the coordination of, hey, we're using this curriculum, you're using that curriculum, let's use the same curriculum so that our students have a seamless experience. And I go to the doctor and it sometimes feels like they aren't all talking to each other. Let's all figure out how we can talk to each other and support each other. Content sharing and curriculum, and then researching those best practices. So finding communities that maybe look similar to ours or have an African-American community going down to Minneapolis and finding out what they're doing as far as best practice. And we definitely have time for questions at the end, but we don't want Randy to go over on his first meeting leading this. So
who says I'm looking at the
yes. So just to highlight, and you can read those questions, we then even delved deeper into those themes as to what it is, what kinds of questions we should be asking as we're moving forward, how can we delve deeper, what types of data should we be utilizing along those different priority groups as we take those next steps. And this, again, was all based on all of the collaborative input from our large group stakeholders, Bruce Watkins, former superintendent of St. Cloud, current interim superintendent of Stock Rapids. Rice has it best, as a proverb does too, it takes a village. We can't only expect our schools to do it. It takes all of us working together to make a difference and to make an impact. Big problems take big solutions and people working together. So again, some different pieces. These are what we are moving forward through with our work. As we move to those next steps as the identified pieces. So we've been connecting with key education and community leaders based on those questions and determining next steps, laying that foundational work, where can we create content, and creating networks around those identified priority groups. For example, on Friday here at the library, we had a focus group on our Somali network. We had representatives from the library, from Boys and Girls Club, from Lutheran Social Services, EAGLE, which is Eradicating the Achievement Gap within the Somali community, Hands Across the World, which is housed here in the library, along with a few other people. I'm drawing
Community Grassroots
here.
Solutions.
Yes, Community Grassroots Solutions, which is a Somali organization, and had some great discussions as to where they're seeing those gaps, why they're seeing those gaps. They see students coming over, what happens within the school system, and how we can better work alongside the school district. We also had the new EL coordinator for the St. Cloud Area School District there working alongside with us, talking about the initiatives they're doing in school, how we can layer out-of-school opportunities for that piece. So that's just one example of the work we've been doing to move those K-8 initiatives forward. That's the end for us. If you look in your pamphlet, you can see some of those numbers and some of the data in that middle trifold area. You can see on the left is the early childhood portion. That middle is the K through 8 data. And then goal 3 is our career and post-secondary readiness data. But it's interesting to look at those social emotional pieces. That's, again, at a very high level. We dig really deep into the data to determine how we can move that needle in the right direction.
Well, thank you very much. Do we have any questions? Mary?
So how many kids are we talking about, really? Percent aside, but how many kids?
It's a great question. I'll move back to...
And I missed, this maybe
number.
I missed that.
I didn't give, no, you did not at all. So if we look here, 60% of the St. Cloud Area School District, there's about 10,000 students in the district. So that's about 6,000 students just within the St. Cloud Area School District.
Out of how many?
Out of 10,000.
Out of 10,000.
59. All right.
So then 20% of the Sartell St. Stephen School District is going to be about 800. And then 36% of Sauk Rapids Rice is going to be about 1,200. So that's about 8,000 students.
Bunch of
within just that specific population. Now, it's interesting to note that there are a variety of student populations within that free and reduced lunch from all demographics. However, when you look at the African-American student population and the Somali-American student population, a very, very super large majority of them are also within that free and reduced lunch category.
Also,
so they are duplicated for the most part. So it's at least 8,000 students and within that.
Any other questions? Again, I want to thank you for the presentation. A lot of information there for everyone. So
thank you for having us.
Right, thank you. Lights, please.
So,
all right, moving forward to seven, financials, the bills. I'll need a motion to pay the bills.
Mr. Chair, I so move paying the bills.
All right, I need a second.
Second.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Just mentioned in January they bought a lot of the copy machines. We authorized in December.
Color.
Like $34,000 worth.
All right. Any more comments or concerns? All right. I have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Financial reports. I guess they were emailed to everyone. Everyone had a chance to look at them. I would request a motion. On
so
the financial,
Mr. President.
I have a motion from Mike. I need a second.
Second.
Second from Dan. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carried. 8, consent agenda. I think we can do all these at one. If
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So does anybody have any questions from 811 to 815 at this time? And we'll make a motion for all of them if...
I move Lisa. Approval of the consent agenda.
All right, I have a motion. I would need a second. Mary seconds. Any more discussion? If not, those all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. 8.2, designation of official newspaper. Who's our official newspaper?
We did that as St. Cloud Times last year because then it aligns with the city of St. Cloud.
All right, okay. So
I still move.
We got a motion from Jim. I need a second.
Second.
Second from Wayne. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carried. CMLE appointments. What's CMLE again?
Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange.
Okay, there we go.
Mary presented at the December meeting. Gloria Palmer, who is a member of the Staples Friends of the Library, has agreed to serve another term. So she would be interested in doing that. The information is in your packet.
Okay. I need a motion.
I'll move approval of that CMLE appointment.
All right. I need a second.
Second.
Second from Mary. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else on that?
No.
All right. We're good there. Next page, on page 2, number 9.
Audit engagement agreement is there for your information. It is the same letter we receive every year. Do you want me to keep going?
Sure, just keep going until somebody, please,
okay.
If you have any questions, just let me know on any of these here.
Library Legislative Day is March 6th, so we would be happy to have board members once again accompany us down to the Capitol. There will be a legislative update the night before if you're interested in going down the night before. Otherwise, there will be a briefing that morning and we'll have details on where that will take place soon.
On the 6th, you say?
March
6th. Which is a Tuesday.
Oh, I didn't realize that. It's a Tuesday. Jamie is not legislative chair this year. She's outgoing legislative chair, so that date was set by the MLA legislative chair.
So what's the date again?
March 6th.
What time do you normally leave?
Early. What time was it last year? I think we got down there by about 8 or 9.
8?
I think we left.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
So we leave here around 6-ish.
Okay. So there you go. If you're interested, I'm sure you just contact Pat or Karen on that one.
Right. I'll be having an online meeting with the Cripsilla folks next week, so we'll be talking about whether or how we'll be moving forward with legislative requests into the coming session. And I think Jamie had an update with that too.
This year, something new that we're going to be doing is a virtual component. So if you're not able to make it down to the Capitol on the day of, we will be having a week-long kind of variety of activities that you can participate in virtually, whether that's through tweets or calls. So watch for that, and I am on that committee. So
thanks, Jamie.
All right. Meeting schedule 2018.
That is included in your packet. I anticipate we will have a February work session. The finance committee will also be meeting that day. Find the page for you. It's on page 40. The regular meetings will for certain take place. The work sessions will decide a few weeks before the date takes place whether or not we have subjects to discuss.
And also, just for the new board members, sometimes if they're meeting is canceled, you're well notified, you know, in advance that it may not be held at the time. Well, I think we did that last year. We had one
October one we did end up canceling, so. Right.
There we got, and it's on page 39 in your packet. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you ready to go to staff reports?
No other?
No other.
All right, and then again, we already did the partner in success.
Yep.
Staff reports 11.1.
Slight correction to what I put in my executive director's report, which was printed 2 weeks ago. I did not attend the MLK breakfast yesterday morning due to weather and my teenage children's schedules. And then January 11th, Leader Circle was also changed due to weather, so I'll be attending that this Thursday. We did receive three fund development proposals to our audit request. Last Friday was the deadline, so we'll be working to select a firm fairly shortly. And I wanted to let everyone know that the annual appeal, as of this morning, had raised $64,733 from 871 donors. So thanks to everyone who helped us achieve that. It is a 13% response rate to the number of appeal requests we had mailed. And we typically have had an 8% response rate. So a lot of past donors donated this year that didn't donate last year. It isn't quite 100% of our goal, but we count money received through the end of January for the appeal. So yeah, it isn't tied out yet, but very strong response.
Mary?
And where does that money go again?
Right now, the board has it set up so that 60% of those dollars go to collection. So like the Access 360 project was partially funded through those donations.
Could you explain what the Access 360 is?
That is our new ebook platform that launched at the beginning of the year. We're hoping that it will be so well used that we'll be able to migrate to that platform if everything goes well. And then 20% of the dollars go to support additional marketing for the library, and another 20% of those dollars go to support additional fund development activities. The Friends Meet Friends session last fall was funded with those donations. So that's how the current donations are processed once they're received.
Mr. President, could I have Karen repeat that number for what you gathered and what our goal was?
The goal was $85,000. We're at 76% of goal. We had $64,733 received to date.
In January, it'll still be on that.
Right, we'll have another month, roughly. It was an average of $74 donation. We did receive one donation in the amount of $12,600. So if you take that one out, the average donation was $60, which is still stronger than our average. So very good response.
Mr. Chair. And I think that $12,000 was a charitable RMD, right?
It was an IRA distribution of some sort, right?
And that is, I think, something we should look at, talk about, promote.
Acknowledge, yeah.
I believe that it, at least one of the firms, if not two, that submitted proposals said that that planned giving would be an area they'd be looking at what our potential would be.
Because that's, I think, a nice opportunity.
Any more discussion on that?
Thanks to the board members who donated. We did have quite a few, so.
Did we get everyone? Did we get everyone?
I couldn't tell you that right now. I don't know.
Wouldn't?
I couldn't. I don't know.
I gave Mary. Is that all Matt?
So did I.
There you go.
Twice.
Management reports. 11.2.
Anyone want to provide an update to what's written here?
I find it interesting. We rehired a retired employee.
Yes, Linda Trepp is back. It was pretty exciting that she put her hat in the ring. Some of the board members who have been here for a while will remember her as the Associate Director of Finance a few years ago. She retired in 2013 and has been doing a variety of things in retirement. But when the specialist position was posted, she decided to come back. So we're very fortunate to have someone with 30 years of accounting experience at Great River fill that seat.
What's interesting there is she was Aaron's boss. Now right. Aaron is her boss.
It has been an extreme delight to see how this has played out. Linda, right. Linda was also known to be the person in the hallway who decorated the her office most beautifully over the holidays. So we're excited to have her
back. Retirement party was really special.
It was. It
big
was a
Halloween celebration.
Yep. Yeah, she's great.
All right, moving forward, building report. 11.3.
Brandy, did you have an update on Howard Lake?
Okay. Just wanted to let you know that last Thursday I did have a conference call with Nick and Aurora from the city of Howard Lake, and I presented the space needs analysis that I had completed. They were really happy with it, asked lots of great questions, and seemed very positive about the whole process. And the next steps is they will be engaging the services of someone to look at the overall city facility plans and do kind of long-range planning and space analysis for all the different city buildings to try to figure out the best plan for them moving forward. But again, they seemed really positive about the information we provided at the library and really motivated to move forward with that.
Mr. President, as a follow-up to that, with Howard Lake, they went from seeing how cheap they could get by on everything to actually doing a facilities plan, so where they need to be. So that's a big change of attitude, what they used to do out there, which is good. And the other follow-up was with Cocato. They installed the ADA door and handicap accessible. It turned out very nice. I went and looked at it a couple weeks ago, and I was pleasantly surprised and pleased with how it turned out.
One exception, when it's 20 below, it opened just a little too long.
Too long. When it's 20 below, you move a little slower too, don't you?
But it needs to be.
Mr. Chairman, question on Sox Center and the toilet problems they've had. I think you could fix that in one day.
Sox Center isn't mine, so Karen, do you know anything about it?
I can tell you from having worked in Sox Center when I first started at Great River, it's a 100-year-old building. Mm. So it was a retrofitted Carnegie, and the bathrooms are in the basement. So that's what causes some of the issues. It's just the building wasn't meant to have toilets in the basement.
It runs uphill rather than down.
Right. Right.
The bowl and the tanks are made of wood, not porcelain.
And the last renovation on that building, the last major renovation was 1998. So it's an older building now.
So, but to answer or to ask Jim's question, are they doing something about it?
They have been working on it. I just don't think it's 100% resolved yet.
Okay, all right. And I don't know if we're going to bring this up too. How are we sitting with all the contracts with all the libraries?
They are all signed.
All signed and sealed.
Facility maps for every one of them?
All right.
Yeah, thank you for everything.
everyone who helped us achieve that, because that was nothing short of miraculous.
Good job there.
Yeah. If I can say just one other thing, I have it just really briefly in here about Elk River's new hours, because they had just started when I wrote the report. It's been going really well. They're now open 2 additional morning hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And my staff are telling me they're getting great response from patrons who come in who are just thrilled that the library is open every day at noon. And at this point in time so far, in the first few weeks, it's been like 20 to 40 people in that 2-hour period, which is still kind of slow, but people are coming in and they're learning about it. And so we're going to see if we can find ways to do shout-outs on local social media, both the cities and with Great River, and other things to just build awareness within the community that the library's open more hours. But so far, working really, really well. So
yeah, and they're tracking those numbers. Like when St. Michael got that hour, I wanted them to track that. Let's see what's happening here.
Yep. So staff are doing informal kind of door counts right now as well during that time. And then, of course, our circulation statistics and other things we can break down so that we can see the busyness factors.
It'll take a little time, but you'll get to that point, but they are tracking to see what.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Mr. One more question. On Sartell, I know they say they're very busy and they would wish to have more more service provided. What's happening there? Not service, but more.
The city council was planning on passing a resolution to add a day of delivery. I don't recall if that was this Monday or next Monday that the meeting will take place. Aaron, have you heard anything from Mary since last week?
I have not. She just said they were sent through the council.
And she didn't anticipate that there'd be any issues with them adding additional funding to the project. So we expect we'll be adding a day of delivery, assuming that they pass the appropriation.
And if I may, do we have the manpower here to add the day?
We do have this.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah. It'd be an extra half an hour to the driver and an extra hour and 3/4 to the distribution assistant.
And neither
per
of
week.
Them are 40-hour employees, okay. So we'll be able to add that without any issue.
Okay. Any other questions or comments about the building reports? If not, we'll move on to 11.4, Human Resource Report. I assume Julie, maybe?
Outdoor voice.
Yeah.
Didn't go green. So attached are the hire, termination, and promotion reports for the last half of the year, as well as an exit interview summary. Any questions? Mary?
Mr. Chair. You said recruitment is slow.
We typically don't have as many openings this time of year. Spring, fall, we'll tend to have more openings. So just meaning we don't have as many jobs to post, but did mention in there that we are seeing some difficulty in getting qualified pools of applicants. We're having to post 2-3 times, particularly for some of the aid positions. We're running ads, which we have not typically done in the past in community newspapers. So they do eventually get filled, but it's becoming a little bit of a longer process, a little harder to just get qualified people.
And that would be why?
Well, part of it has to, it could be many factors. So it could be the unemployment rate is fairly low, so that has an impact. Some might indicate that it is pay if the particularly the aid is right at minimum wage, so that might affect who's applying. It's also part-time positions, so we do feel like we have a certain group of employees that prefer part-time, but it certainly discludes people who might be looking for full-time employment, which is easy to find right now in their communities.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Something that we'll keep looking at, particularly as we do our work plan and look at our turnover rates and those kinds of things. So if you look at the exit interviews, it doesn't seem that people are leaving for one particular reason. It's a little bit across the board, but I think we are seeing that pay is being mentioned more frequently than in previous exit interviews.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Julie? If not, we'll move on to pay equity. There's a form on your on the table in front of you. Someone will need action approval on this.
And this report we do every 3 years, and it's very difficult to predict how the numbers will come out because it's very dependent on a variety of circumstances. Julie can speak to this better than I can, I think.
So the last report was done with 2014. It needs to be submitted to the state of Minnesota by January 31st, or we'd be subject to certain fines. Looking at the data that we've entered and then been able to print out the compliance report, it is anticipated that once it's submitted, we will not be in compliance. So generally meaning that salaries for female classes is below the male classes. Looking at the last report and the current report, we're identifying that part of this might be due to some turnover that occurred in a couple male classes, which we then filled with females. So we have less male classes that are in the comparison. So what we've been given some information from the State Department is that once we submit it and receive a non-compliance, we can then ask for a reconsideration and present that information where we lost some due to turnover, but we did indeed fill them with females and see if we can possibly get a reconsideration of that non-compliance notice. We'll also probably ask for an extension to give us a little bit more time. And then if it's still found non-compliant, we will have to analyze more deeply and determine how we fix it. It does affect state funding if we're not in compliance.
Any questions for Julie on that?
Mr. Chair, so does it hurt us, the fact we're not recruiting more men?
Well, that's essentially what we talked about with the department is that we're a little being penalized for filling some positions with females. So we'll see how that review goes.
And I'm assuming that, you know, if you look at your applicants and if you have the more qualified female applicants than the male applicants, I mean, that's who you would hire.
Right. We want to take the best qualified person.
So we can't help it if not enough guys don't apply.
But again, it has to do with the pay for female classes compared to male classes. So part of that is also due to how our points are from our factor evaluation system that was done in 2014. And then it's also based on some market where maybe some male classes, due to market reasons, are in a higher grade than their points would indicate.
So what does that mean?
An example might be computer positions. They're rated at a certain number of points, which might be similar to other points that we have for positions. But because of market, they end up needing to be paid higher in order to get qualified candidates. So market is also included in our factor evaluation system.
I don't get it. So if I apply for the job, I get the same as Potter?
Yes, but we're saying that some type of positions might be paid higher because there's a limited availability of candidates in that particular profession.
Okay. You want to get so paid higher than me, you be a Sherburne course. County Commissioner. They get paid more.
If no. I may, Dan?
Whatever.
Julie, is there, when you send these reports in, is there a place for explaining this on the report you send in, or is that something you can't do until after you receive the notice from the state?
No, the report is based on the data that I'm reporting, which has to do with the classes, the points that are assigned, the pay, how many females, how many males. So that's the data that gets submitted into the state software program, and then it issues the whether it's compliant or not.
Any other questions? And this is an action, a motion. I would need a motion.
So moved, Mr. President.
I have a
second.
A second from motion from Mike and a second from Mary. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Unfinished business.
We need summaries of that.
Did I move? Oh,
going to be quick, though.
Oh, no.
Unless there's questions.
I was looking wrong.
So Unique Management is the collection agency we use to recover accounts who have non-returned materials, books that are long overdue. And revenue recapture is also included. That's what we do with accounts who have been through the collection agency process, not recovered, and then we submit them to the state of Minnesota if they're over a certain amount in order to recover, like, property tax rebates or income tax refunds or things like that. This is provided so you have an idea of how that activity is tracking over the last year. What's notable this year with Unique Management is we are no longer able to credit report patrons due to changes in how that law works. So even though that happened, our return on investment hasn't really changed much with Unique Management, and I think that's pretty significant. People just need to be reminded to return their stuff and sometimes get a really threatening letter, unfortunately, in order to recover those materials. But it has been... It continues to be a good investment in our time and energy to get those materials back. You can see just in material recovery alone last year, we brought back $34,000 worth of materials through those processes. And if you look on page 65, you can see the revenue recapture process, while it might be somewhat time-consuming, out of 103 accounts that were submitted, we received $11,621. So not the most pleasant process to go through, but for those accounts that are high balance, I don't know that we'd have a better alternative.
Any more discussion on that? Okay, and committee reports. Number 12, Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will take this for you.
Right.
The Finance Committee met tonight at 5:30 prior to this one. And it was a fairly short agenda, but it covered the minutes of the November 21st, which we discussed a little bit, which part of it was budget projections. And we had the talk on that, which we felt a little bit less than we first thought we'd have. Originally from November to now was a little bit less than we thought, but it was a positive, which is always good. And we did the fourth quarter financial report, and it was a couple comments on a couple items there. One in particular was the one that we were over by 8,900, which was equipment rental and repair. And Aaron's going to get a copy of what that was about. And that had nothing to do with the new color copiers. That had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. It is another item, and it's going to get sent to all the board members so you know exactly what it was. And then we went through the budget process timeline, which is similar to what we did last year. In fact, it's pretty much spot on for what we did last year. So nothing's changed. The process seemed like it worked well. It served us well. We had plenty of time for all the county boards to get that plugged into their budgets in time. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the Finance Committee report.
I have a motion from Mr. Potter. I need a second.
I'll second.
Second. Question.
We'll give you Jim. All right. Any more discussion?
Question.
Mary?
So what? A little bit less than we projected?
We in November, we had projected of 800 in surplus of 800, four, excuse me, 484,000. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be 350-something or other. It turned out to be 356,466.
And that's how come?
There are a couple items like that one that we're going to email you. Equipment and repairs. There's a couple different little miscellaneous items over here that in this report, and I'll give this to you if you want to see it or if you got it there.
Well, it was a handout tonight,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so it's just miscellaneous things that come there, and again, projections are just that, projections,
sure.
You know. And it could have to with, the, I don't know if we hired anybody in that the last month of the year or not. I'm not sure what.
Not sure how that would have played out.
But one of the big things that stuck out was
the boiler bill was in there.
Oh, building maintenance. That boiler was also, that was a big ticket because we agreed to pay the 20% or whatever of that.
That 20% is of what, Mike?
What's
that 20% is of what? The city of St. Cloud's
right
bill.
We agreed to do those before certain those things. That, those were unanticipated expenses when we first submitted this one.
Well, it was cold.
All right, Jim, you had a question?
No, I was just going to elaborate with Mike just talking about the boilers. We didn't expect the boilers to fail on us this year, and they did. And the replacement was $20,000 that we didn't have in our budget.
Yeah. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Unfinished business?
None.
None. All right. New business, request date for board orientation.
This would be for Commissioner Pop and friend Zuria from Sotel. Zuria let me know that she's available Wednesdays from 11 to 3. I don't know that we would have to do orientation at the same time, but it's certainly an option.
Is that something that they can contact
Karen
at?
Yeah.
And then
do you have
set
certain
up,
days,
days
of the week
times?
That are better?
It's usually like about an 8-hour thing.
So. Oh,
and there's a test afterwards.
What? And a test.
Mine took 12.
Say 4.
But I think that's what you should do. You'd be in contact with Karen, and then you guys can set up some schedule.
Okay. Yeah, I would probably, you know, you'd probably like to do it together. Mm-hmm. Save you. Yeah.
It works both ways. So what? Sometimes
maybe you two can contact each other, get the times, and then give them to Karen.
I'll send out a few dates and see what works for you. If there are board members who want to do orientation again, because there is a lot of questions and it's a complicated thing, we can certainly send those dates out and open it up to more people. I would also offer that regional staff meeting will be February 13th. Board members are welcome to attend that. It's when we bring in all the coordinators from the branches to talk about, this time we're going to be talking about local action plans and some of the best practices that have been happening around the region. We also have Shadow Day coming up on March 1st. If you're interested in learning more about programming and reference services, we typically haven't had board members attend, but if you want to be more familiar with how that works, I'll send that out. And then organizational orientation is the orientation we do twice a year for all new employees. We're more than welcome. You're more than welcome to come to that as well. So that'll be April 10th.
What time is the regional staff?
That'll be from 9 to noon, right?
Noon.
Oh, 9 to 2:30. Okay. Get more stuff. Okay. So I will send out those dates too, but I wanted to invite you because we haven't always had board members at some of these things, but when regional staff meeting, we've had board members at, it's been good for everyone involved. So if you have time, it's fantastic.
All right, any more discussion on that? Otherwise, we'll move forward to 14.2, the per diem and mileage payment, and we'll need board action on that, too, at this time.
Mr. President, just for the rest of the board, Randy Spencer, myself, this was part of a union negotiation for the contract, changed from what it was before, and we all sides have agreed on this, and with that, I'll make a motion to approve.
Right. And to add a little bit that we're going with the IRS
rate.
100%
rate.
Yep. All right, so we have a motion on that. I need a second.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. Any other? I have a little other here, the Sartell locker system. I know it's Sarah, right? She's Mayor of Sartell, is that her name?
Sarah Nickel,
yes. She offered here last year to do like a little, to come over there and take a look at it. I personally would like maybe to get some time, and I don't know if anybody else would be to go see it, because I haven't seen what that locker system.
Oh, we could try to schedule it for the February board meeting again, if that works.
Something.
I can give you some feedback on that. I haven't had a good experience from it. I generally request everything at the Wade Park Library, and it takes 2 to 3 days to come. I requested stuff at Sartell. It came in 3.5 weeks.
Mm. Oh, good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Right.
Okay.
And so I called the library saying, I ordered these books 3 weeks ago. Why are they not here? They said it's 1 day drop off. So I guess the question is, do they get all the order together and bring it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. So if you request more things, then you have to wait, which is different from the other libraries.
I'm sure Karen is going to address that at some point.
Well, we'll be adding the day of delivery, assuming Sartell funds it, and we'll see how that
plays
out.
But I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is it the books are on hold or anything? Or?
No. It's just that the time to get them, to get all the 4 or 5 books together and bring them to a locker.
Oh. And there's only 44 lockers. Right now we have on a typical week, 20 to 30 lockers over capacity with the amount of demand on the system. So adding an extra day should help with that. But we may have to be looking at adding more lockers too if the goal is to meet demand.
And those costs will be covered by Sartell, not us.
Correct.
Correct.
How many times have you requested, ma'am?
Actually, I just did once, and then I went back to the Weed Park Library.
Just one time, okay.
Mary, you have a question?
No, I was just going to say, I think that doesn't always work. Not, you know, outside of the locker system either. If you request 5 books,
correct, they
you
come
might
at
get
different times.
3, and then you get 2 more on 3 days later. So,
but there they all come together.
There's
in
only
Sartell?
One, right? We have 5-day a week
They're
delivery at all of the branches. We have 1-day a week delivery at Sartell.
Like, the more books you request, the longer it's going to take to deliver because they're going to wait for all the books
them
to
all.
Come
I see.
And then put it.
Oh, okay, okay. Now
that makes sense. So is this is something, when did they open up their locker system? September?
October.
So I'm sure it's got a few kinks in it, and hopefully they'll get them, you know.
And Mr. President, to refresh the board, we went on a 3-year pilot project on this because we figured that first year there's going to be a lot of moving parts that got to be figured out. The second year you're getting it under control. By the third year we'll know
if it's
how it's working. So this first year, we knew it was going to be a little chaotic at first to try to figure out, and this is one issue that came up there. I'm sure there's more than one. So hopefully we'll get a game plan on how to correct that. Or
just to let you know, a lot of the Sartell community is boycotting those lockers. The protest for not having a library. Mm. I have heard from many parents, we are never going to use that because that's not a library.
Hmm. Unfortunate.
That's unfortunate. It is unfortunate.
Well, hopefully that'll change down the road. Any more discussion on that locker system? If not, we'll have a board open forum. And what that does, everybody has a chance to say if they have any things on the agenda. And we'll start with Lee.
I missed the opportunity when Julie was giving her report on the pay equity situation, and relative, I was going to offer some comments that both our system and the state system really needs to be updated relative to gender, because historically, I mean, this isn't Hooterville and this isn't 1956. We now know that there's more than just 2 genders. So you might bring that up to the state to ask how that should be reported.
All right, thank you. Dan?
Pass.
Mike?
I'll pass today.
All right, Mary?
I have nothing.
All
thank
right,
you.
Fran? I'm going to help. I'm going to butcher it.
Ziria?
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get that. Don't take me a couple times. All right, do you have anything that you want to comment on? All right, Jim?
Well, I am a religious person, so I would ask for prayers for Dave. He's having surgery yesterday or today for some operation. And also, Jeff had a replacement of his hip, so.
Yep.
All right.
He's doing well, but he didn't want to take a chance.
Lisa?
Pass.
All right. Ed? Wayne?
Yeah. Welcome.
Yep.
This will be all right.
One more thing, Randy. Thanks for doing a good job running the meeting tonight.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that. You're going to see a lot of acronyms. A lot of us are in this acronym thing, you know. So, and I'm sure we have like a little thing.
Dictionary.
Yep.
You want me to send it to everyone?
No, so, because pretty soon they'll be just be like CB2 is happening, you know, be like, okay. All right, moving forward. Next meeting is February 20th, Board of Trustees at 6 o'clock.
Finance at
5:30.
And the finance is at 5:30. And then March 20th, we have a board at 6 p.m. too. And again, whether we have finance or personnel, that
we
would
may
be
have a personnel right. In February, depending on what happens with the pay equity stuff at that
all
point.
Right.
So.
Question is about the web page.
Right. So right now, if you look at the Great River webpage, there's a lot of information out there about each board member, like your phone number, your email, your position, what county you're from, your picture. We're just checking in. Is that what you want to continue to have on the webpage? We're not required to have that much information on the webpage about individual board members.
If I may, I think some of them are not on there too, the photos.
Yes, some, we have a few individuals who have chosen not to have a photo.
Which is, you know, fine. All right, so you're aware of that. Otherwise, that we'll make a motion here to adjourn at 7:26.
So moved.
I got a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Got a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.